How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I am Anthony Irwin. We made it. The Lakers play today. The preseason, all the crap that surrounds trying to analyze basketball that hasn't yet been played, that's all behind us. Tonight, we get to watch a Laker game. So Harrison, let's go ahead and give our fans, our listeners, a round of applause for making it through here with us. Ready? 3, 2, 1. All right, thanks, guys. That was great. If you missed any...
I really should have just played like a clapping effect or something, because that was the lamest thing ever. I'm not even sure if people are going to be able to hear it, but it was, for those of you at home, it was me and Anthony clapping into our... That was me and Anthony lightly clapping into our microphones, so...
I'll say this. We could use like a clap reel or whatever, but it's just not the same. You know, it's like a laugh reel in TV shows nowadays. It just makes everything sound corny.
Don't even tempt me. I'm gonna start inserting those after your puns.
Before we move on, make sure you guys are catching the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Make sure you are also using the promo code LO Lakers on SeatGeek to get that $20 rebate. Again, we're just trying to give you guys money. Today, we are going to analyze a game that is going to happen tonight. We are going to break down. I don't know if we're normally going to break down games like this before every game, but because this is the first Laker game that we've seen in actual months.
We'll do it for milestone games, but I think once we're in the season, we're going to be going back-to-back on games at times and stuff. Right. So we'll be we'll look forward a little bit. But yeah, I mean, this just feels kind of more momentous. It's the first time that we're going to see Brandon Ingram in a yellow jersey at home. It's the first time that Luke Walton is going to coach a game as head coach of the Lakers. He had the legendary Jesse Mermes do it for him in summer league, and so this will be Luke's first time taking care of that. Actually, kind of fun fact, but we'll let the viewer listeners decide, but the last time I was at the Honda Center was covering one of Luke's first games as interim head coach of the Warriors, because it was during the preseason and it was right after they announced that Kerr was not going to be able to coach the season. So it was one of their last preseason games, and the Lakers had just beaten them in San Diego, and the Warriors came out kind of looking to stomp them, and I think they went up by like 30 or 40 at one point, if I remember correctly. It was just, that was my first time seeing Stephen Curry in person, and it was breathtaking. That was before he got hurt and they blew a 3-1 lead in the finals. He was just on fire that night. And so, yeah, but anyway, that long story aside, Luke Walton will be head coach. Brandon Ingram's making his debut. D'Angelo Russell makes his debut as someone who is not being yelled at every single possession, I guess. Yeah. So that's cool.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching the Lakers play without a coach and having his arms crossed for, you know, the entire game. Or watching timeouts in which coaches actually coach during said timeouts. I'm just looking forward to everything that has to do with this game. So let's go ahead and jump into it. The first thing that you mentioned when we were trying to figure out what we were going to talk about this game was how unwilling Luke has been to divulge who is starting tomorrow. And I actually think it feels very Phil-esque, you know, just kind of just being, for lack of a better term, dickish. You know, just like, I'm just not going to tell you guys.
Well, there goes our clean rating. Thanks for that.
Well, one day people will forgive us for that. but yeah, and you said it was more of a general just coaches not wanting to give anything away. But I do kind of think, I'm pretty sure at some point coaches in the preseason have given stuff away like this. It really isn't that hard to figure out the Lakers starting five. But it does kind of leave the door open for some potential excitement, you know, surrounding this. Would you, because of the lack of transparency here, would you almost be like, I'd almost be a little disappointed if we just got the type of starting five that everybody's predicting that we'll see?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, if there's no starter set in stone, that could mean anyone's going to do it. I mean, Thomas Robinson has apparently been winning a bunch of those hustle drills in practice. Maybe he gets the start. Maybe it's at point guard. Maybe, you know, you never know. There could be some wild cards in there. We have no idea. I mean, honestly, we probably know who the starters are going to be, right? It's probably going to be Russell, yeah. Clarkson, Dang, Randall and Mozgov, but it does kind of leave the door open. But I just think that it's the typical coachy kind of thing to do, where it seems like every coach that I've had interactions with, they just don't want to divulge anything. The only coach that I can remember off the top of my head mentioning that they didn't really care about preseason and all this, so like the most explicit about it was Alvin Gentry, saying that his goal in preseason was to just play guys a bunch of minutes in their hometown and have nobody get hurt.
That sounds about right. Crazy that hasn't turned out very well in New Orleans. Anywho, the other way I could go with this and why he might not have given away the starters quite yet, he being Luke, is you want to keep these guys as motivated as possible. So if it's a motivation technique and he's just kind of saying, all right, I'm not going to come out and say that, you know, D'Angelo is for sure starting, Jordan is for sure starting, Dang is for sure starting, either Julius Randle or
I think
Larry
the only
Hatch
one
Jr.
he's really said that's for sure starting is Mozgov, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, he's
and basically
pretty...
Dang.
Yeah.
He's pretty much said that it would be really unlikely if Ingram started.
I would say from the few clips that we've seen, Nance Jr. and Julius Randle going at each other in practice has been pretty fun to watch. And I would imagine that that's been so fun because both guys are motivated and think they have at least a shot to start. You know, I would imagine Randall feels a little bit better about himself in that respect than Nance Jr. does. But Nance Jr. also feels incredibly confident in pretty much everything he does. So as evidenced by him throwing a lob to himself off of the backboard and in the middle of a scrimmage, make sure you guys check that out.
He blew Ivica Zubac's mind on that play. I don't know if you saw that picture of Ivica in the background, just like jaw dropped as Nance is in the air. Like, it was perfect. It was like he had never realized that Larry could jump that high before. And like it was the moment a lot of Lakers fans had at Summer League a year ago, yeah. when he basically almost broke his hand blocking Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, whoa, that guy can jump. Yeah. And for Ivica, it was like his mind was just blown. It was awesome.
Right. Yeah, that's – Zubac is pretty much awesome for anything. We should have, like, a separate Zubac camera this year. Get on that
there
spectrum.
There should be Zubac cam. Absolutely. There should be – instead of – they should have a spinoff of Backstage Lakers called just Backstage Zubac.
Yeah.
And where they just follow him around, and he just does things and gets into zany adventures.
The title of the show is pretty easy. It's just Ivica Zu Backstage. Like it's right there in his name. It's right. Is this where we would have that laugh reel?
Ah, ha 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 ha.
See,
was that good? Did
awful,
I edit that
right?
sound effect in well?
That was the angriest laugh I think I've ever heard. All right, so regarding
anyway,
the starters,
we got way off track, but
right, but
as far as competition for the starters, it does kind of that's actually a good point that you raise, because Luke, really, that is something that he's talked about a lot. He wants to instill that culture of competition. Other than phenomenal, I think that's been his most used word throughout preseason / training camp so far.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and move on. Unless you had anything else to add about the starters, but the other thing that I'm really looking forward to tomorrow is just the overall basketball that's going to be played. How are they gonna get up and down the court? Who's gonna be most confident, you know, to grab rebounds and go? What kind of sets that these guys are going to run? We'll get to the sets here in a second. But between the pace that they're going to play, the defense, you know, the techniques that they're going to utilize defensively, and their overall offensive scheme, those, you have those three categories to pick from. What are you most excited to watch tomorrow, today?
I'm sorry. Did I miss the part where you said lineups?
I guess we can add lineups in there. We just spent the whole first segment talking about starters. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, that was talking about starters, but I'm curious to see the lineups that he uses throughout the games, especially after he talked to Joey Ramirez of Lakers.com today. Luke Walton, he being Luke Walton, he said, "We're going to try different lineups out together, see if we can find a small lineup that works well together, or find a big lineup that can switch everything." So this is the kind of stuff that I think everybody was excited about when he got in from Golden State. It was just experimentation and trying new things and throwing lineups at the wall to see what sticks. And so I'm curious to see, are we going to see like a weirdo small ball lineup? Are we going to see a weirdo big ball lineup where he tries to play? I mean, I'm not of the opinion that Larry Nance Jr. should be a small forward, but I mean, they might try and play him some there this year, apparently. So it would be, you know, like that could be weird and interesting to see how that goes defensively, if maybe that helps them having that extra length in there. Mm-hmm. Because he definitely did help them being able to kind of freelance at Summer League a little bit when the Lakers just had this sea of arms that was just generating turnovers all over the place. And again, that's just Summer League. But being on the wing would allow Nance to freelance like that a little bit more in NBA play, so maybe that could be interesting. I don't know.
Well, think about the athleticism.
I'm more interested in the small lineups, that's for sure.
Think about the athleticism and length that could be on the floor if you have Jordan Clarkson at the point guard. Now, obviously, Russell is the guy that we're hoping to see as the point guard most often, but just humor me for a bit here. You have Jordan Clarkson running point. You want maybe Brandon Ingram in there, and this is only for a small stretch, but at the two. Luol Deng there at the three. Larry Nance Jr. there at the four. And, like, Tarik Black there at the five. Or Julius Randle even at the five. And it's just a whole bunch of, nah, I think I'm going to roll with Tarik Black because of his rolling ability. It's just a whole bunch of, all right, we need you guys are just going to go out there on the court and spaz out completely. just create as much chaos as you possibly can. And while those lineups tend to go one way or the other, they tend to be wildly successful because the team doesn't really know what hit them, or they tend to be utterly just disastrous for much of the same reason, that they don't know what necessarily hit themselves, right, with how hard they're out there playing and maybe over-rotating and doing stuff like that. But I think the more exciting thing than any particular lineup is, like you talked about, Luke just being open to, yeah, we're just going to try a bunch of stuff. We're going to
no
throw a bunch
arbitrary
of mud at
the wall. 20-game sample sizes for mm-hmm. lineups that clearly don't work upon their first 2 minutes of being inserted into the game.
Exactly.
You know, just messing with things and, you know, finding what works and finding what doesn't. And to be clear, again, we're not just talking about for tomorrow's game. We're talking about going forward. But tomorrow's game, or tonight's game, by the time you're listening to this, is the first chance that we're going to get a look at this stuff. And I like the kind of weirdo lineup that you just talked about. And I think I agree with you that it's one of those things where it could, I think against a team like the Kings that just has no point guard depth, that could actually be a helpful thing, because you just have guys getting in, you know, whoever they're throwing out there's face the whole night, and that's going to cause problems. But if you do it against a team like the Warriors, that's, you know, that's, despite their inability to hold 3-1 leads, is very good at moving the ball. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of chaos, I don't think that the Lakers are going to be disciplined enough for it to be controlled enough chaos. They're just going to, it's going to end with the Warriors getting a wide open corner three as three Lakers crash into each other. Mm-hmm. But against certain teams, that could certainly be an interesting one, I think.
Yeah, and tonight would be, like you said, one of those teams. Because I actually don't think Sacramento's very good. They have one of the worst.
If that kind of lineup could make it maybe kind of difficult to get it into Cousins in the post, if you just have a bunch of arms in between. And, you know, I really don't know what the Kings do when they can't get it to him.
Just imagine how angry DeMarcus Cousins would be if they just ran some kind of 7 seconds or less kind of madness out there, and he just has to run, sprint one way and sprint the other way and sprint. He'd punch a ref just to get himself out of the game.
In fairness, is he ever happy during a preseason game? Probably
right. So
not.
you combine you know, the typical bitterness with the frustration that comes from running, and I can tell you firsthand of the frustration that comes from running, being a fat person, and I can tell you, I wouldn't even knock Boogie for punching a ref to get out of the game. Just
okay.
If you gotta tone it down. Do what you gotta do to get out of the game in that situation. It's just preseason. Why overextend yourself?
Or you know, you ask out of the game.
That's the other way to do it.
You get a technical for something else.
And get your money's worth. All right. So you talked about the lineups. I think I'm most interested in the defense. And I'm gonna be super boring here, and pardon the dryness that's going to occur right now. But
we teased the segment. That was really good. I think if I was just a neutral listener, I'd be like, yeah, I want to listen to the rest of this podcast.
it's just going to be for a couple minutes. We're going to move back. Actually, I take that. No, actually, we have the wet blanket stuff coming a little bit later. So
can I leave? Like, do I have to stay?
I'd prefer if you stayed. But I'm going to be doing the show by myself.
I'll hang around.
Tomorrow.
I'll see how it goes. I'll see. Everybody, just stay with me. I'll tell you if I'm going to leave.
I'm out. But yeah, no. Regarding the defense, I would say they've spent so much time harping on how much they're working on defense. Right? They're going back and they're working on their fundamentals. They're going back and they're really focusing on the details of rotations and stuff like that. What the percentage kept on rising. Right? It was 80, and then it was 90, and then eventually they just didn't put the baskets down at all.
I think now it's just 110% effort execution. it's just them reciting cliches from that Key and Peele thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, defensively, especially against a team like the Kings that relies so heavily, I would say, on post play, that like a huge knock or a huge frustration that I had watching the team last year was the ball would go into the post, and it would be a one-on-one situation where you would think, you know, if it was Roy Hibbert guarding the post player, that he would have them, you know, somewhat contained. Or if it was even some situations, it was Brandon Bass, and he would have the situation contained. It didn't really matter who was down there. They'd have the situation contained, but the Lakers just flat out couldn't help themselves. They'd go down and they'd overhelp. They'd pinch in, you know, whether it was one pass, two passes, whatever pass, whether it was from a corner three-point shooter, whatever it was.
It honestly came off like the coaching staff was telling them that giving up a jumper is better than letting a man dominate down in the post. And I don't know who would have been saying that, but that's just how the defensive strategy came off.
And yeah, when you're watching something like that happen time and time and time and time and time again, eventually you're just like, could I just fast forward defensive possessions? Because this is not even worth it. Just give them their 2 points and let's go back down and play offense. And tomorrow I'm looking forward to seeing, all right, when the ball does go into Boogie and he's, you know, face up against or with his back to the basket against Timofey Mozgov, who is I would say he's a pretty good post defender, right? He has the size to be a good post isolation defender. So yeah. In those situations, there's no need to go down there and help too much, especially after Boogie picks the ball up. Like, it was so awful last year. the post player would pick the ball up, and they would do this like weird pseudo semi trap thing that the ball always
they just like went to the middle ground where you're not helping anyone.
Right. They just
like
ran
you're
to
not
no man's
making
land.
It more difficult for the big to pass, but you're also not guarding your man.
Yeah, it was incredible. They actually paid rent in no man's land. It was basically that they played defense in Barstow like all freaking year, and tomorrow, I'm looking forward to not seeing people in Hemet or Barstow or any of those armpit cities.
I'm going to go the other direction, and shout out to our listeners in Hemet and Barstow. I don't hate you, Harrison Fagan. I do not. It's Anthony Irwin, and I'll maybe I'll tweet his address or something after this podcast. But defensively, I think the thing that I'm looking forward to is kind of jives with what you're saying in terms of the guards just helping nonsensically last year. And who knows how much of that was scheme, how much of that was them just being over aggressive and having bad defensive instincts.
Mm-hmm.
But
probably both.
It's probably 50-50.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see is Jordan Clarkson an okay defender now? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's preseason. Who knows how hard they're going to go? But you'd think that after all the talk that they've spent pumping him up as he's this improved defender, that for whatever 12 to 18, whatever minutes he's out there tomorrow night, that he's going to be going all out on the defensive end to try and show what he's learned over the summer and what he's worked on.
Right. And I think the improvements that you're hoping to see from Clarkson will actually be the kind of thing that you can pick up in the first preseason game. Now, there are still going to be lapses. He's still going – I mean, habits are just really hard to break, right? So with Clarkson's defense, will you see him occasionally not bounce around aimlessly in help? You know, would you see him – you know, is his posture – is he in a more explosive stance – throughout defensive possessions, those kinds of things that you're going to see, you know, those things matter, and those are improvements that can happen right away. Whereas, you know, overall defensive improvements are going to be a little harder to pick up in just the very first preseason game against a weird roster makeup. Right? We should also point that out that
yes.
the Kings roster is not typical of what the Lakers are going to face throughout the season. So.
Yeah, I mean, you honestly could have just called them bad, but
that would work too. Now, you wrote today about the sets that the Lakers have been practicing that have basically been blowing some minds out there.
They took social media by storm today. Mm-hmm. And shout out to friend of the show, Shahan Ahmed of NBC Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And he's been killing it throughout the preseason with videos and things like that. So all Lakers fans should follow him. It's at Shahan LA, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. I've actually enjoyed his videos as much as any videos across all the NBA this year, not just Lakers centric, but
yeah,
putting the interviews while the actual practice sessions are going on is nice, because that means you spend half as long doing the watching the videos as if you have to watch
there's
it
something going on instead of just looking at their head.
Exactly.
But
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's not that much fun to like watch press conferences on TV and stuff, right? Is because most of the time, like occasionally you'll get a vine of someone doing something like really interesting or whatever. Most of the time, what they say you can kind of pick it up from reading the clippings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that tangent aside, he tweeted out a video of the Lakers doing 5-on-0 drills at the end of practice today. And I mean, my headline was just the Lakers had more movements on this practice set than they did all of last season, or had more movement on this practice set than they did all of last season. And I don't know that that's inaccurate to say.
No,
that little drill had more man movement than any set the Lakers ran last year.
I
don't remember seeing that much off-ball screening. Do you?
No, not of course not.
Yeah.
The other thing too was how quickly those sets are taking place. Like I had a tweet last year that was pretty popular regarding the Lakers' sets offensively, and it was basically you always knew who the play was going to be run for because they were the only person on the court running really hard. there weren't multiple options where guys like off the ball were working equally hard as a guy, the primary option in that set. Yeah. And today you're watching these guys, they're sprinting to spots where they have to set that screen. After they're setting their screen, they're making themselves available for the ball. Just the kind of fundamentals that you absolutely need to run decent sets offensively. We got to see that today. And yeah, and here's the other thing. Laker fans, I think, get unfairly criticized for being, you know, dumb, obnoxious, fickle, whatever.
We love our listeners. This is things other people are saying.
No, I'm standing up for the Laker fans right now.
All right.
And I was really impressed today by how happy people were to see that kind of movement, because that it takes basketball intelligence to really understand that this is a good thing that we're watching, right? And while people are going to lob the mostly unfair criticism at the Laker fan base and saying that, you know, the stuff that I just pointed out a second ago, I'd counter with, no, actually, there are some really good Laker fans. There are a lot of really good Laker fans out there, as evidenced by how happy people were to just see the stuff that was going on social media today from whether it was Shahan, whether it's, you know, videos that the Lakers official account are sending out. Lakers Nation has been producing some stuff like that. People are really excited about the minutiae of what's going to make the Lakers successful this year, and that's not something you would expect from a fan base who gets criticized as much as a Laker fan base is. So shout out to Laker fans out there.
Yeah, shout out to Laker fans. You guys are great. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what the reason they're so excited is because about all this passing is because they watched last year where the Lakers, they had a league high 10.6% of the team's possessions ended in isolation, mm-hmm. which is up there with the least surprising statistics that I've ever read of all time. I went to NBA.com today, pretty sure that was the case, and I could not have been less surprised when I got there and saw that they led by like a full percent in isolations.
By a lot.
And they were also 28th out of 30 teams in percentage of baskets set up by an assist. Mm-hmm. So, the passing last year, I think it's fair to say, was not great. And, you know, you have to note that more ball movement doesn't necessarily correlate with offensive efficiency, but that's just because the Sixers have ruined that stat over the last couple years. And no, I mean, not really, but I think there are times where there are teams that are bad and they pass a lot because they're bad. They don't have players that can create a shot. So that kind of brings that down. But if you have teams that are running good offense and they have players that can finish, then I would say that more ball movement is generally better depending on your personnel. Mm-hmm. Like the Thunder last year, I don't know how much more ball movement you could have gotten in there, because if you have Westbrook and Durant, I mean, you have to get the ball in those guys' hands. So there are certain teams that I think the criticism is just like they haven't won yet, so they must be doing it wrong. But where, you know, it's the right fit for their roster. But for this Lakers roster, to watch them share the ball like that and move and screen for each other is really encouraging after the kind of abomination that they ran last year.
Right. And it has to be with a purpose. And that was the exciting thing that came about from those sets, was that, yes, the ball was moving a bunch and the players were moving a bunch, but it's not like they were running in circles, right? It was with a purpose. When the ball went somewhere, it was to get, you know, to provide a different angle in that set so that different guys have different opportunities. And it was really fun to watch that. Now, with all this said, here's where I get to be the wet blanket again. And I'm not necessarily looking forward to this tomorrow, but I feel pretty confident.
This might be a new segment. Anthony throws a wet blanket on something you're excited about.
I'm sorry, everybody, but there's a good chance that the Lakers are going to struggle tomorrow. I would say it's a better than not chance that they're going to struggle tomorrow.
Hater.
Now, what I'm also going to add, and it's just as important as pointing out the fact that they're probably going to struggle, is that that's perfectly okay. Like, when I used to coach, I used to be a shooting coach, and if I was working with somebody on their shot, they would say, "Oh, this feels weird," right? And I would, you know, the response to that is always, "Well, duh, of course it's going to feel weird. You're trying something new," right? And if it felt normal, if whatever I was teaching you felt normal, that would mean that you're still shooting the ball the same way you have been, and there's therefore no change and there's no opportunity for progress. And now for the Lakers tomorrow, if and when they struggle, it's because they're learning brand new concepts. And if they picked it up all that easily, just imagine how easily people would be able to pick up, you know, in scouting reports going against the Lakers, right? And that wouldn't be a great thing either. So what I'm saying,
there's going to be they're going to get shot clock violations on the first five possessions, and Luke Walton's going to call a timeout and be like, guys, what is going on? We practiced this, and they're like, yeah, but Kobe didn't shoot, so I don't know. Like, we kept trying to get him open, and
they're just going to have to, like, maybe the Lakers can hold off on retiring Kobe's number for a couple years just so that they can ease into that transition and somebody can wear number 24 or number 8, whatever it would be. And that way, you know, when the ball ends up in 24's hands at the end of the possession, the Lakers might be more better equipped to see what happens then. But no, I would say tomorrow, if and when the Lakers struggle, it's no reason to say, oh, they're screwed, right? Anybody who does that.
Well, I mean, this year they aren't going to be like that great, but
right. Well, and that's yeah. And right. And this is where I would say tomorrow should be a something of a microcosm of the season that's going to come, right? Yes, there's a whole bunch of excitement heading into tomorrow and then by extension this season. That doesn't necessarily equate, or that won't equate with. That doesn't mean that they're going to win tomorrow, and that won't lead to more wins as the season goes along. But that excitement shouldn't necessarily go away as they struggle with the growing pains that come along with a rebuild centered around youth. And yeah. Tomorrow, if they hit their bumps in the road, if they trip over Roy Hibbert on their way into the gym, that's no reason that the Laker fans...
I think he's in Charlotte now, so I think they're good on that front.
They might fly him in just so that... Again, it's all about the transition, right? If the Lakers were used to seeing Roy Hibbert lying on the ground last year, maybe they can just find like a big 7-foot block or something and lie that on the ground so they're used
just
to
like
that.
Just a fat head of Roy Hibbert.
Yeah, but like 3D printed.
Yeah.
No, so I would say I'm that doesn't mean I'm any less excited for tomorrow. I'm just saying that if and when they struggle, then that's all part of the experience. That's all part of this process, of this journey, and we should enjoy the journey as much as the what we hope is the end result, right? If they come out tomorrow and they stink, and then as they stink for the rest of this year, in a few years when the Lakers are, or if the Lakers, hopefully they will be good, but if and when the Lakers are good a few years from now, we can look back on this and say, oh, remember that time they had shot clock violations on the first five possessions of the first preseason game when Luke got in town?
When Luke had to remind them that Kobe wasn't on the team anymore?
Yeah. Like, remember that? That's fun. And again, now, again, humor me here for a second. I'm a Vikings fan. We were awful a few years ago. That's why they were able to draft Anthony Barr, and they were able to trade up and get Teddy Bridgewater, rest in peace. But
yeah, he's been playing well for them this season, right?
Thanks. But watching these guys at 4-0, I can look back on those years prior and I can say, yeah, I remember when the defense couldn't stop a swift breeze, you know, from scoring. And you know, looking back on that makes the wins that we've been able to enjoy so far this year all the more enjoyable, right? And when the Lakers do enjoy the success that we all hope they will in a few years, we can look back on whatever tomorrow might be and say, oh yeah, remember that? Yeah, I can't believe how far we've come in the last few years. And that's the excitement that should come about from this game, no matter how they play tomorrow.
So basically, Lakers fans, hold on. Trust the process.
Dang it, Hinky.
Shout out to Sam Hinky. Enjoy teaching his course at Stanford that he's not actually teaching.
He's just finding kids to talk to.
Yeah, hopefully. that's my dream scenario. He's walking around Palo Alto explaining tanking to people.
Should I do this paper? No.
It's about asset collection.
Trade that paper in for a second rounder.
Anyway.
All right. So regarding the process, this kind of leads us into the, I guess, I'm not going to call it news. ESPN crapped on the Lakers again and said that in 3 years, they're still going to be, what they say, the 25th worst team in the league.
They said over the next 3 years, overall, they will be the 25th best team in the league.
And my count.
So, hey, they were second to last year. Spin zone. That's improvement.
But the response to that should be, and who cares? You know,
I mean, my thing with that is people get so worked up about these ESPN rankings, but they're just projections. The guys who write them would admit that they're just projections.
Right.
There are scenarios where the Lakers could be better than that. There are scenarios where they could be really good right after that 3 year period. There are also scenarios where they could be really bad and just eternally cursed. So, you know, who knows?
Dark.
But we're going to find out. And I think, you know, just these projections are not something to concern yourselves with right now, while you can still look to this year and look for just kind of an easy win of upward progress.
Right.
It's like I was saying when I wrote about the Lakers, Luke Walton this morning was, or yesterday, he was talking about how he thought the Lakers could be a good defensive team this year. And I thought that it was admirable that he didn't set the low bar of just improving defensively, because the analogy I made is that, you know, calling the Lakers defense bad last year is like calling an 18-car pileup a traffic delay. Like, it's accurate, but it doesn't really describe the damage very completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that you know, there's so much room for improvement right now that people shouldn't be worried about 3 years in the future a whole lot yet. Just, I mean, enjoy it. Enjoy this kind of, enjoy the small wins that they have right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, the ESPN rankings. And then here's the other thing. The purpose of those projections are to get people talking, right? To get the projection aggregated, to get the clicks back to the mother site, right? And nothing has shown itself to be more successful in getting people riled up than crapping on the Lakers. Whether it was Kobe's ranking in the NBA rank and the player rank, whether it was, in this case, you know, crapping on the future that everybody is really excited about.
Yeah, maybe they're going to rank Kobe really low this year in hashtag NBA rank.
Yeah, maybe that could happen.
When he comes back with the Knicks. Shout out to Jason Whitlock.
It would be funny if Kobe was ranked higher while he was retired than he was as a player. It actually might be accurate.
We kind of have a reputation for being the Lakers podcast that hates Kobe, which anyone who's listened to us a lot knows isn't true. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of both of our favorite players of all time, but mm-hmm. he kind of is more valuable to the Lakers this year on the court by not being on the court.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we don't need to spend too much more time or any more time on the ESPN projections other than to say, who gives a stuff? Let's just get people back excited about this Laker preseason game. The Lakers, again, it's just exciting that they're back in our lives, that we actually get to watch Laker basketball, no matter if it's preseason, whatever. Prediction, do you think – I actually think the Lakers will win tomorrow, today.
Is Collison, does his suspension start in the preseason?
I don't know. I don't think it really matters because it's not like they're deep after that.
Yeah. The Lakers got a good shot. I'll call a win. I'll call their shot here. I think they're going to be motivated to go out there and show what they've done during training camp and the improvements that they made and just all the positivity. And I think they got a shot because I think they may try harder to win the game than the Kings will.
And then their probability
the Kings aren't that much better.
Their probability of winning goes up if they do play that lineup that just goes out there and runs a bunch and Boogie punches a ref and gets himself out of the game.
Oh, man, you're just stuck on this tonight.
I mean, if it happens, that hypothetically speaking, if he's not on the court, the Lakers' chances of winning goes up, right? So that should be part of their game plan. All right, we're going to go ahead and end this before I get us both playing. We'll talk to everybody. I'm going to be live on Facebook immediately after the game on Silver Screen and Roll, so make sure you guys follow Silver Screen and Roll on Facebook. Harrison is going to be at the game, so he won't be able to chime in too much.
We will have plenty to talk to you about that. I'll have plenty to talk to you about the next day. I got a couple stories I'm working on, and we might have a special guest at some point over the next week, but we're not going to say anything because we don't want to jinx it.
Absolutely. So I will talk to everybody after the game. Again, that's on Silver Screen and Rolls Facebook Live. We're going to record that audio and then flip it, turn it into a podcast as well. So if you miss any of the Facebook Live, make sure you guys download the show. You can
leave rate and review. We've been seeing the reviews come in. You guys have been so supportive of the podcast. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Anyone, if we've made your commute a little bit easier to work, you know, we really love it when you guys give us reviews and kind of give us that feedback, even if it's not a 5-star. Just we do like hearing from you guys and getting that support.
Absolutely. So you can find the show again on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Make sure you guys are using the promo code LOLakers to get your redeem code.
$20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase.
That's all good stuff. And again, enjoy this. We made it, everybody. Give yourselves a pat on the back. If you have to, don't clap for yourself if you're driving, because that just doesn't seem very safe.
Don't clap awkwardly into a mic like we did at the beginning of this podcast. That was just really weird.
Still better than the laugh reel or clapping reel.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to everybody after the game. Have a good one, everybody. Shouts to Samaki Walker.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the rates. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.